Have you ever wondered why there are times in your life that you seem to find it so difficult finding Him, maybe hearing Him, sensing Him, maybe knowing that He's near? Some of the greatest words ever spoken by God are recorded in the book of Jeremiah. I want to encourage you to turn there, the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29. As soon as I say chapter 29, most of you instantly think you know exactly where I'm going to go. Jeremiah 29. Some of the greatest words ever spoken in the Word. Very powerful words. I've written in my notes 26 of the most powerful words we've ever heard. In verse 11. But that's not the gist of where I want to get tonight, but I'm going to read it for you anyway. For I know the thoughts, some translations would say, I know the plans. I know the thoughts or the plans that I think or I have for you, saith the Lord. So we have to know and understand that God knows His plans for us. Even when we may not know the plan, God knows the plan for our life. That's comforting. We should take comfort in knowing that even when we don't know, that He does know. Because God knows everything there is to know about everything, and so because He knows everything there is to know about everything, because He's omnipresent, He's omniscious, there's nothing God does not know, God does not see, there's no place that God is not. And so God knows everything there is to know about everything, therefore He knows the thoughts and the plans that He has toward you. These are plans for peace and not for evil, and to give you an expected end. Verse number 12. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So God says, you will go and pray to me. How many of you pray? Some of you pray? All right. The Lord says in His Word, if we will pray, He gives us a comforting response to that. He said that if we will do this, if we will come before Him, and whether we do it during worship, whether we do it during praise, whether we do it during our quiet time, our prayer time with Him, and praying literally is not as hard and as difficult as a lot of people make it out to be. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is talking to God. I know that's not popular today. I know there are TV personalities that say you should be in a sane asylum if you talk to God. There are television personalities, Hollywood, a lot of mainstream people will say if you talk to God, you're goofy, but if God talks back to you, you're even more crazy. No, God desires to communicate with us. And God gave us His handbook called the Holy Bible that He could share with us all of the thoughts and all of the things that He had prepared for us, and He's recorded them in Scripture, and we find comfort, and we find hope, and we find strength, and we find peace through those things that He's given us. And He said to us, if you will call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, He said, I will hearken unto you. He says, I will come unto you, or I will be found of you. Verse 13, and when you shall seek me, that's important. You might want to put an underline mark by it, circle it, do something to remember that word. And if you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, with all of your heart. I would say to you tonight that if we're having a hard time finding God, the issue isn't with God. The issue is never with God. God desires to communicate with us. God desires to walk with us. God desires to speak to us. God desires to bless us. God desires to want relationship with us. If there's a block there, or if there's a hindrance in hearing from God, in walking with God in this type of relationship, it's not God. It's really not. It falls back on us. What are we seeking? Well, we become so busy in this life, don't we? I mean, if we want to be honest, we become so, just think of what you did today. Just think, I was speaking to somebody the other day who's retired, and I said, how did you get anything done when you worked? Because they're so busy now. And they said to me, you know what, honestly, I don't know how I did it when I worked. I really don't, because life seems so busy now, I'm not sure how I accomplished everything that I needed to accomplish when I worked. How many of you agree with me that life is very busy? We become very consumed in things. One thing that Susan and I have always tried to be very careful of is that we don't plan God around our activities. We don't plan God around our things. We plan our things and we plan our activities around God. In other words, we encompass things in our life and in our relationship around Him. He is the center. He's the focal point. He takes priority. The things of God are utmost important in our life. That's us. That's how we've decided to live our lives. We've decided we want to truly look out to the things of the kingdom above everything else in our life. And I know when you're young and you're energetic and you want to climb the ladder of success, and but we can't measure success the way the world measures success. We really can't. Success is so much greater than the value that the world puts on it. The world puts monetary numbers on success. The world puts on how many possessions we may own as success. But at the end of the day, those things are nice and they're all fine, and there's nothing wrong with having, riches, and there's nothing wrong with having things, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things and fine things. Matter of fact, we talked in Bible school last night about poverty and how God desires for us to have. God desires for us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed with more than enough so that we can be a blessing to other people. If we're just barely getting by, George, we can't be a blessing to someone else. If I'm just making it in my life, if you needed something in yours, I can't give it to you because I'm just getting by in my own life. God desires for us to have a sufficient supply so that if someone we come in contact with has a need or lack in their life, that we are abundantly supplied so that we can reach out and meet those needs. But yet we somehow, have fallen into this mind game that the world has construed around and about us, that we have to look out for number one, look out for self, get to the top of the ladder, regardless of who you got to step on to get there. It's dog eat dog. It's a rat race, isn't it? It's difficult at times. It's exhausting trying to keep up with the Joneses, isn't it? It's exhausting trying to keep up with what everyone else is doing and what everyone else is having. And I'd encourage you tonight not to fall into those traps, because they're dangerous traps. And those traps can get you all off track. They can get you bound up, and they can get you into really difficult places in your life. But if we seek first the kingdom, the Bible says God supplies our needs. So everything else, it says, whatever we do in word or deed, the scripture says, whatever it is, whether it comes out our mouth or whether it's the working with our hands, the Bible says we do it all as unto the Lord. So if I'm talking, my words should be edifying to people. My words should be uplifting to people. My words should be encouraging to people. So should yours. Because if everything we say, we're saying is unto the Lord, I'd caution you to think about what are some of the things you said in the last 24, 48 hours. Would you say them to Jesus? Think of some of the things that you've voiced. Would you voice them directly to Him? He said, whatever we do with our hands, whether it's helping someone, whether it's fixing something, whether it's working, whatever the gifting or talent that God has given you in your life, whatever that is, if you do it as unto Him, you are less likely to become bitter when people don't respond to you. Because when you get to the place in life where you're no longer looking for the applause of man, you're no longer looking for the accolades of man, but you're looking to please and honor the very heart of God, and pleasing God becomes the priority, you realize that whatever you do, whether it is in word, in deed, you do it, your work, your labor, you go to your job, whatever it is, you do it for God. You're not doing it for a boss. You're not doing it for a corporation. You're not doing it for a company. Although in the natural, it may appear that you're doing it for someone. You're really not. You're doing that as unto God. That's what the Bible says. And he says if we seek him, if we look for him, we will find him. So if you go through a time or a period in your life where you feel like, boy, I just don't feel like God's near. Well, that's, what are you looking for? What are you searching? Where are your eyes? What's distracting us? And I can tell you, there are many things in this life that will distract us and take our gaze, take our attention. We get caught up into a lot of these things. But we must understand that Jesus said, if we seek him, we will find him. The word seek, bakwash is the Hebrew word for the word seek. It means literally to search out. To search out. By any method, specifically in worship or in prayer. In worship or in prayer. We can seek God through our worship. We can seek him through our time of exhortation where we're crying out to him and we're worshiping him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, all of our strength, or wherever we're communicating with our mouth, the words that are coming out of our mouth. By implication, it means to strive after, to beseech, to desire, to pursue, to seek. So I'd ask you the definition that we see there of seek. How many times are those things very prevalent in our life in our conjunction with our relationship with God? We pursue people. We pursue careers. We pursue athletics. We pursue the social status. We pursue relationships with one another, with someone of the opposite sex. We pursue all kind of things in this life. And sometimes we pursue those things even in a greater way than we pursue God. But how many of you know and even figured out sometimes when you're pursuing him, because of the troubles or the worries or the fears or the stress of everyday life, you find it hard at times to connect? It's because we're deeply troubled at times. But we're to come before him earnestly and fervently. We're distressed. Many times in life we're distressed. We're pressed on every side, the Bible says. Sometimes all we want to hear is a reply. How many of you ever just wanted to hear a reply? Just cry out and you want to hear a reply. And sometimes there's nothing there but a deafening silence. Have you ever experienced that? Just a silence. The silence is so deafening that it drowns out everything. But then these thoughts begin to follow. Well, you must not really be listening. So we ask, has God abandoned me? Does God really love me? Does God really care about me? Maybe I've been so bad in this life that how could God love me? He doesn't want to hear me. He doesn't want to listen to me. Many people throughout my ministry I've had come to me and say, Pastor, sometimes it's very difficult finding God's voice. Sometimes it's difficult for me to hear God's voice. Sometimes I don't know if God's listening. Sometimes I don't even know if he's speaking. How many ever heard of C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia? C.S. Lewis was recorded as saying this after he lost his wife to a lengthy battle of cancer. C.S. Lewis said he called out to God for comfort, but yet he said he sensed no reply. Have you ever called out for God and you didn't quite feel the reply? You're asking, but you don't seem to. He said, confused, he asked, what does this mean? I'm asking, I'm crying out to you. And this is what he said in his words. Why is God so present, a commander in our times of prosperity, and so very absent in our time of trouble, is the question that he asked. Why do we seem to be able to find him so easily in good times, but so difficult in hard times? It's because of where we look. It's because of the emotion that becomes involved at the time. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalms chapter number 77. And look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. It says this, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? I want you to listen to the words of the Lord. Another translation says it like this. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show us his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all times? What is the psalmist saying? What is the reflection of his heart at this particular moment in the words that he's saying? What he's saying is, God, where are you? God, I don't feel you. God, it doesn't seem like you're near. God, what's happening in this situation? Are you going to do anything about it? That was the cry of his heart. We've put David on a pedestal, King David. No greater worshiper of God than King David, right? But yet David cries out, Lord, will you reject forever? In a moment of hurt, in a moment of sadness, in a moment of anguish, in a moment of turmoil, in a moment of strife, you and I are much like that. In difficult moments, we wonder, God, why do I not feel comforted? Even when Jesus declared, let not your hearts be troubled. Our hearts feel troubled at times, don't they? And a lot of it is because we're looking in the wrong direction in those moments. We're seeking immediate answers and quick fixes for things in our life. And sometimes things aren't immediate and sometimes things aren't quick. I've waited for some things in my life for a long, long time, and I've never given up on them, but I have waited a long, long time. There are some things in my life I have been waiting since I was 12 years old. 12 years old. There are some things I've been waiting for in my life. Some things God spoke over my life at 12 years of age. I'm 54 years of age tonight. I'll be 55 in June. And sometimes I say to him, you know I'm going to be 55 in June. You know, 60 really, boy, that's a scary thought. 60 isn't real far off. I know, that's hard to believe, huh? I look so good. It's hard to believe. 60 is not real far off. And sometimes, Karen, I say, God, you know, I know you said it, but I'm starting to climb the ladder of age. What I'm really saying, Marie, is when are you going to do it? You know, I'm reminding him that time is passing by when all of the time he holds time in his hand. He's the one who holds time in his hand. And I'm saying to him, time's going by quickly. In case you haven't noticed, we're almost in March. And this is I don't even know how we got out of January, you know? I don't even know how we got out of January. February just like a blur. Before you know it, it's going to be summer. Before we know it, it'll be winter again. How many of you would agree with me? Time goes by so quickly. And we wonder, God, you know, you made some promises. There was something just a number of years ago, God spoke richly to my heart. Three things. He spoke three very powerful things to my heart. He said, I will provide this for you, and he did. He said, I will provide that for you, and he did. And these are no small tasks. These are no small things. God spoke something to my heart when I came here to pastor this church. We left a board meeting one night, and there's not a person in this room that was present in that boardroom at that night. When I came and candidated for the church, they had shared a number of things with me. And then we came to find out, not that they were misleading me, there were things they didn't know at the time. And when I'd already accepted the job, and we had a meeting, and it was at that meeting they told me that they could barely pay me and that they could only pay me for 6 months. And I remember feeling the burn of a look coming over the side of my face, and I knew the look was coming from my wife. Like, Sean, the look. How many of you guys know the look? And there was an awkward silence in the room. And everyone was looking at me, because they had just told me something that I didn't know, and they were wondering how I was going to respond. And I said, okay. And they just looked at me. And I said, okay. And I'll never forget, one of them said, okay, you're still going to come? And I said, yes, okay. Because if God's in it, then God's going to make provision. God's going to make provision. The church has never hit a point where they were not able to pay me ever since. And the church has gone through, with the economy and different things that we've been through over the years, we've gone through some very difficult times at some places and parts over the years. But God has always seen us through. Because I am a firm believer, when you put your hand to the plow and you seek first the kingdom of God, I'm a firm believer that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. I believe that. I'm a firm believer in that. And so when I agreed, God spoke three things to my heart. Three things. Very quickly, he spoke to my heart. And I shared them with my wife. I said, God told me that if we do this, if we will be obedient to him, he will provide this in our life, and he will take care of that in our life, and he will take care of that. Three things. How many want to know what the three things were? I'm not going to tell you. There were three things. It's just a little. They're just personal. They're big. They're big things. I mean, I could tell you. It's no big deal. But there were three things. Two of the things have come to pass. Divinely, miraculously. Divinely, miraculously. The first one entailed about $45,000, Gary. The first one would have cost me $45,000 personally. It didn't cost me a penny, because God provided every cent of that $45,000. It was something that was going to transpire. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you. It was my daughter's weddings. He said to me, you will not owe a penny. It will be provided for you. Paid for them both. There was a second one. God said, if you do what I ask you to do, I will make provision for you. If that one was too big for you, this one will be really too big for you. Are you ready? I'm just going to tell you. I'm just an open book. I'm going to tell you. Because someone needs to hear it. Somebody needs to be stirred in your faith tonight. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything you have need of, God will add unto you. Is that his word or not? I shall supply all your need according to my riches and glory. Is that? The second one, Marie, was I've always had in the back of my mind a concern about something. I've always had a concern in the back of my mind. It's not because I haven't trusted God for it, but as a provider, as a husband, as a father, there's always been a concern in the back of my mind. And mainly that concern became very prevalent when we came here. Because prior to coming here, we owned our own home. When we came here, we didn't own our own home any longer. But I felt stirred strongly in my spirit that God told me that we were to set roots here. And the way he led me to do that was that we were to build a house back here. How many of you were actually even here at that time? There's a few of you that were here. Maybe less than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 6 of you that were actually here at that point in time. Susan and I paid for the house, and we put it there. The house belongs to the church. We paid for it, but the house belongs to the church. How many of you ever paid for a house for somebody else? Anybody? But Donna, God said, "But I shall supply all your need according to your riches and glory." God told me if I would trust him, if I would be obedient to him, what I'm willing to give to him, he will provide to me. God gave me. The first one was about $45,000. The second one was $280,000. God gave me a home. God gave me a house. And it ain't even in Pennsylvania. God gave me a home in Florida. Lock, stock, and barrel. Marie gave it to me. If I always had a concern, what happened if something happened to me? Where would my wife live? What could she? Well, she could either move to Florida or sell it and buy a house up here. Someday it could be a great part for our retirement, which I'll never retire, but, you know. God spoke and asked me to do something. Who would do that? Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. But God said, if you do it, I will provide for you 3 things. That's what he told me. 3 things you will not have to worry about. The first one took, you know, I don't know how many years it actually took from the time we were. The other one took probably about 15 years, because I've held this for a while. I've owned the home for almost 3 years now and not said a word to anybody, because I never felt really the release until this very moment. Well, I've told a few people close. Danny and I were at lunch one day, and I shared it with Danny. And Danny said to me, "You need to give that testimony. You need to let people know what God's done for you." And I said, "At the right time." Is that too big? What can God not do in your life? I'm not talking prosperity preaching here, Karen. I'm not talking that. I'm not claiming, name it, claim it, lick it, stick it, flick it, hick it, whatever. I'm saying what the Word of God says. If you seek first his kingdom, what you have need of, he will provide in your life. He has provided. There's a third one yet. The third one has not yet come to pass. The third one has, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it hasn't come to pass. I wasn't going to tell you the other two either, but I just felt prompted to do it. The third one has yet to come to pass. Do you think I'm worried about the third one? If he provided the first two for me, I'd be foolish, wouldn't I, to think that he would not provide the third one for me. I have never once in my ministry ever taken a job based on what they could or could not pay me. James Hasek and Gary Detling will tell you, if there was ever cuts to be made, who was the first one that said, I'll take the cut? Is that true? I have never taken it, because I believe with all my heart, Danny, my God shall supply all my need. Your new board member, don't vote to give me a decrease in pay now. Saying, well, okay, if God gives it to you, we don't need to pay you then. Listen, do we trust God or don't we? He said in Jeremiah that if we seek him with all of our heart, you can ask my kids what has been the priority of my life. And my wife and I talked about this because, you know, the truth is, there are moments and there are times that maybe I did neglect some things at home, Jill, because I was running so much. There was a time in my life that the phone rang, man. I was getting dressed on the way out of the house. I was putting my pants on, going down the steps, jumping in the car and running. Till I came to a place where I realized they needed Jesus more than me. I wasn't what they needed. They needed Jesus. And I've learned to trust his timing as I got older. And sometimes I don't run as quick as I used to, and it's not that I don't care, because I care probably even more now than what I did when I was younger. But I know that he cares even more, and I trust his timing. Matter of fact, one of you that are here tonight texted me back the other day and said, Pastor Sean, your timing is just absolutely impeccable, by something that I sent out to someone the other day. I hear that over and over and over and over again, because I believe, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just saying, if you will search for him. I was searching for him today, and he told me to share something with someone. Right on the mark. Right at the exact moment. Am I clairvoyant? No. Am I a psychic? No. There are just times that the leading or the unction of the Holy Spirit will say, now, and you... obedience to that, and it's the exact moment. It's the right time. A word in season. How sweet it is, the Bible says. And so if we seek God, he knows what we have need of. He knows the desires of our hearts. God knew a desire for me was to, at some point, if anything were to ever happen to me, that my wife would have a place or have the financial means to be able to have a place. And God said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. You know, I always picture God to have like an Italian accent. I don't know why. God's like Italian to me, you know. He's like, what's the matter with you, huh? Just trust me. It's all right. I'll fix it. You know what I'm talking about? I'll take care of it. I just believe that whatever need we have in this life, that if we trust him, and we don't just sit around, but we put our hands to the plow and we work. I said last night in Bible school, you know, when people say, I'm just waiting on the Lord, what are you doing? Nothing? No. As you're waiting for the Lord, get busy. Get busy doing what? His work. Loving people. Encouraging people. Speaking goodness to people. Doing whatever you can to help people. When you get about the work of the kingdom, when you get about the heart of God, God moves big in our lives. The third one is yet to happen. It's yet to happen. But I know it will. Do you know why? Because the Bible says his word is yes and amen, James. Which means when he says it, it's already provided. I just haven't, so to speak, cashed the check. I haven't entered into it yet. I haven't received that third part of that. But that was his promise, and I cried out to him, God, you know, how many times am I going to take a church that they can't afford to pay? And, you know, I can't live on potatoes, you know. We pastored a church one time, and the guy used to bring me 100-pound sacks of potatoes. Potatoes would go bad before we could even eat them, you know? But he loved, he loved us, and you know, that was his way of, you know, going to take care of us. But there have been times that, just like the psalmist, I've cried out to God, where are you? Have you not? But as time goes on, and as I do get a little older, I realize that his word says, I was young. Man, he should have put foolish in there. You know, I mean, I'm not telling you how to write the word, but Karen, I think it should have been young and foolish. How about it, Gary? Have any of you ever been young and foolish? Been a few of us? Okay, rest of you are probably lying. But that's all right. But, you know, when we're young, we're foolish. We do dumb things. We make mistakes. You know, young and foolish, question things, question God. It's, you know, where are you? When are you? How are you going to provide? What are you going to do? But as we get older, the psalmist said, I was young, but now I'm old. Well, I'm not old, but I'm older. But I've learned. What the psalmist said is true. I was young, and now I'm old, but I have never, say, I have never. You know, that encompasses you. I was young, and now I'm older. And I have never, say never, seen the righteous forsaken, or a seed out begging for bread. Man, I have never seen the righteous. Well, I've seen people in bad situations. And most of the time, when rubber meets the road, you find out those people really aren't seeking God with all their heart. Most of the people I see in the biggest messes in their life, when it comes down to it, and they're completely honest, they're not really seeking God. They want to say they're seeking God because that's the spiritual thing to say. It's the spiritual thing to say. It's the righteous thing to say. And sometimes we say that, but it's not really true. But if we really are seeking God, His word is absolute. God will not recant His word. God will not go back on His word. If God says, if you search for me, you will find me. If you can't find God, you better get your hiking boots on, so to speak. And you better start looking more. Because if you search for Him, you will find Him. How can you search for God? I'll give you two quick ways. One, in your worship. In your worship. I started something a while back, Jason, in my life, a while back, and now it just happens automatically. I wake up literally every morning. I'm not making this up. It's just so pre-programmed in me now. I wake up every morning singing. Not out loud. Thank God. Huh? But in my head, I'm singing. I'm singing. I wake up during the middle of the night, and I'm singing. And I'm not singing, you know, she cheated on me and took my truck. You know, the old woman just ain't as good as she used to be. No. I'm singing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. I'm not singing Achy Breaky Heart. Some of you are too young to even know what that was. Google it. No, don't. You might like it. I'm not singing Wrecking Ball. Sometimes life feels like a wrecking ball. Do you ever feel like life hits you like a wrecking ball sometimes? But when it does, I just sing more. I've learned to sing in the dark place. I've learned to sing in the hard place. I've learned to worship Him in the difficult time. I've learned, you know, I find, you know, when you just get an attitude of worship and praise, regardless of what's going on in your life, it's just easy to worship Him. It's easy to worship Him. So I worship Him. I worship Him a lot. The other day I was in here for probably about 55 minutes in the sanctuary, singing my heart out, just worshiping God. Blowing the shofar. In case any of you don't know what that is on the communion table there, that horn, that ram's horn, it's called a shofar. Karen, I blew that shofar to my lips were numb. My lips were sore when I was done blowing that thing. Just worshiping God. What am I trying to do? Just trying to draw close to His heart. Just trying to, because I know the closer I am to His heart, the easier I hear His voice. The closer I am to His heart, the easier I can follow His lead. The closer I am to His heart. Secondly, how do you draw close to Him? Just getting into the Word. What does the Word say about it? What does the Word say about what you're dealing with? If you're dealing with fear, get to the Word. What does the Bible say about fear? If you're dealing with sickness, go to the Bible. What does the Bible say about sickness? If you're dealing with whatever the issue is in your life that you're dealing with, go to the Word of God. Don't worry about what Dr. Phil says. He may be an okay guy, but the truth is, the Word holds the answers. You know, the secular world can give us momentary relief, but they're not the answers. Go to the Word. Don't go to the daily talk shows. Don't look to the doctors on TV to solve your medical issues. Don't rely on the internet. The latest song on, you know, the Billboard charts. Latest pop song, the latest country song. Get yourself into the heart of God. Listen to some songs that will build you up. I was talking to somebody the other day that I encouraged him. I said, you know, why don't you just try turning on K-Love? And whatever your thoughts are to K-Love, that's whatever. But I said, why don't you turn on K-Love? What's K-Love? So I told him this day, just turn it on, listen to it for a while. I saw the person next week and they said, this is what they said. I love when people call me dude. Dude. Always makes me like, dude, you are not going to believe it, man. It's kind of funny. People still talk like that, huh? Dude, man, dude, you aren't going to believe it. I'm like, what? I forgot all about it, to be honest with you. Dude, I turned on K-Love. And I said, oh, yeah, what happened? Dude, the first song that came on, man, was exactly what I'm crying. I'm crying in my car like, how did this just happen? It's like that song's telling me I need to turn this over to Jesus. And I'm like, you're so right. He's like, how's that happen? Be a radio station and in a car. I'm like, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. But it's what are we feeding on? That's the key. What are we feeding on? You know? Sometimes we just need a good dose of worship. Sometimes we just need a good dose of encouragement. Sometimes we just need a good dose of getting in His Word and looking up. Well, what does it say about this? What's the Word say about this situation? What's the Word say? You know, you got difficult people in your life. Well, what's the Word say about that? Do you ever have people that are hard to love in your life? Yeah. Well, what's the Word say about that? Jesus hung on a cross from those who beat him, spit on him, ripped the hair from his face. And he said, Father, forgive them. 32 years, Rhonda, I've known people that have said, but he was Jesus. I said, yeah, but he lives in you now. Yeah, he was Jesus, but he takes dwelling in you. So if he's in the temple, it's still good for today. But here's the key. Some have heard me say this before, but I got to say it because someone needs to hear it tonight. And whether you want to let it go or whether you want to believe this or not, here's the key. Here's the truth to what Jesus said. He said, Father, forgive them. First of all, he asked God to forgive what they did to him. He asked God to do it. He said, Father, forgive them. And here's the key. He said, because they don't know what they do. And everyone that doesn't want to let somebody go over something says, oh, they knew what they were doing. No, the truth of the matter is, if they really knew how badly that hurt. If they really understood how lost they were, they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. In Psalm 83, verse 1, this prayer of the psalmist communicates the heart of someone focused on finding God. He says, oh God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet. Oh God, be not still. Be not still. There are moments and there are times where it feels like he's not listening. There are moments and there are times it feels like he's not moving. There are moments and times that we cry out and we ask him not to be silent, but we don't necessarily hear a response at that moment. Somebody said to me a number of years ago, I don't even remember who it was now, they said, listen, when you're crying out to God to do something and you don't hear him responding, it's because he's working on doing what you asked him to do. Just trust that he's taking care of it. Does he have to answer? Does he have to say, I'll do it? He's just getting it done. He's preparing it. He's making the way for you. And if you trust the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, you trust then. You trust then. If you ask God, if you bring it out to God, if you cry out to God, the Bible says he is faithful and just to hear you. And he gives us the desires of our hearts. So if we trust God in that, we don't necessarily have to hear that audible voice. We don't necessarily have to feel the goosebumps. We don't necessarily have to get the old charismatic Pentecostal whoo, jerk, you know, whoo, God spoke to me, whoo, get the shoulders moving, you know, whoo, God, whoo, oh my, head snapping back, whoo. I knew a dear woman, every time she'd sing a song, she had a wonderful voice. Every time she'd sing, she'd get three words in. I said to Susan, man, every time she sings, she's going to have to go to a chiropractor. It's like her neck. We don't always have to feel those moments. I had somebody say to me one time, boy, the anointing falls on this so-and-so. Every time they speak, he waves a black hanky. And I said, well, what in the world has a black hanky got to do with the anointing of God? But sometimes we latch on to things, you know, if we don't sense a tingling, if we don't sense a goosebump moment, if we don't get that all of a sudden rush of feel good, if somebody else goes down under the power of the Holy Spirit and we don't, see, right there, prime proof. He lays them out on the floor and here I stand in front of everybody. Way to go, God. Just another sign of rejection. And you rejected me in front of everybody. Why couldn't you just lay me out like them? Sometimes I'd love to be God. I'd just like to whack somebody and knock them over and go, there, is that what you want? I love you. God loves you. God loves you. It's not the outward expressions or the outward feelings or the outward emotions. Those things can be good and they can be, you know, assurances at times, but they're not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we put our trust, our confidence, and our faith in the one who has spoken. And if he says he will do something, then he will do it. And there's a whole list of things from the age of 12 till now. There's a whole list, and I haven't forgotten, and I remind God of them that haven't come to pass yet. I believe they're going to come to pass. I believe, and I believe I'm getting closer and closer to seeing some of those things come to pass. Somebody just shared something with me the other night that just said to me, oh, I'm reading something. I'm going, whoa. Susan said to me, what's the matter? I said, oh. She said, what? I said, you got to read this. She said, read it to me. I started reading. I'm blubbering. I'm crying. She said, just give it to me. Let me read it myself. And she's like, said, when God speaks a word, it doesn't matter if it happens now or if it happens a year from now or it happens 6 months from now. It doesn't matter if God speaks the word. Now, I know, I'm like you. If God speaks the word, I want it now. I want it now. How many of you are now kind of people? You want it now. You know, we're doing some things, getting some things ready for around the building and things. I just want them done now. You know, I don't want it to be 3 weeks. I want it done now. I'm a let's get it done. How many people are like that? But I've learned in my spiritual life, and it's been a difficult balance for me when I was younger, to learn to trust God that if he said he'll do it, he'll do it. And I've just got to wait for God to fulfill it. If he said it, it'll happen. It doesn't matter if you sense it, his presence. It doesn't matter if you sense, you know, the chills or the goosies or anything else. I wrote this in my note. I said, it's important that we remember this fact when we're calling out to God. The promise of Jeremiah 29:13-14 is never nullified by our feelings. Just because we feel that God's far away, just because we feel that God isn't listening, doesn't mean it's true. He hears. That's his word. That's his word. He said, if you call out to me, I will answer you. If you seek me, if you search for me, let me ask you tonight, if somebody put a bag over your head and it took your air, what would be the first reaction of your body? To try to breathe, right? You'd be, you'd try to gasp for air. How many have ever been under the water and couldn't catch your breath? Have you ever been underwater and couldn't catch your breath? With that same kind of fervency that you tried to get breath in your lungs, that's how you should seek after him. In other words, be diligent about it. In other words, pursue. Man, when I fixed my eyes on my wife for the first time, I was in hot pursuit. I pursued. She didn't have a chance. I pursued her. I wasn't giving up. I was fixed. I was fixed on her. And that's the way our relationship would be with the Lord too. And sometimes we get in trouble and sometimes we get off track because we get fixed on, and then that walks by. You know, there's some guys get in trouble because they're fixed on, you know, their sweetie, and then some other little thing walks by. The Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to be fixed on. Sometimes we cry out, we look unto God, but then something else comes by. And sometimes that's kind of how we live our life. Hold on a second. I'll be back. This is Thursday. I'll be back on Sunday, but just going to, you know. We go take care of whatever else we want, and then we come to church and want to get our Jesus fix, you know. And then we're all good. And then we get up tomorrow and then we're like, okay, I'll be back. And then we wonder why are we not feeling him? Why are we not sensing him? Why are our needs not getting met? Why do we not feel close to him? Well, he doesn't walk away. Because the Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. Isn't that good news tonight? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible says he shall make your pathway what? Straight. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust him. I just want to admonish you tonight to not let it be lip service, but let it be heart service. Trust him with all your heart. And when you do, you'll find him. He said it. You search for me, you'll find me. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for moments and opportunities that you've given us here to share and to share your goodness and your mercy and your love. Lord, you have such a great love for us. Your compassion for us is overwhelming. Your grace is overwhelming. And Father, I just thank you tonight for each and every one that's here. I pray, God, that if there's any here tonight that are in that position or place in their life where they just don't know that they feel you or sense you, find it difficult to get to where you are, that they'll grab hold of what's been said tonight and they'll truly know and understand that if they seek you, they shall find you. And that you are God that supplies all of our need according to your riches and glory. If we'll just seek first your heart, your kingdom, we'll just be obedient to you, you take care of everything we have need of. And I thank you for that. I rejoice in your greatness and your goodness. You are a good, good Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.